Good morning. Welcome to another Sunday morning cheer. This morning's topic definitely garnered a lot of interest coming into the cheer. The title is GameStop to the Big Game. Problems with betting on sports and stocks. And I see someone's asking for the Mara Makomos about every probably newspaper around the world. One of Wall Street Journal has covered this GameStop phenomenon where pretty crazy things happened in the world of stocks and Wall Street, which we'll get to in a moment. But it's also very much Nogea. Today is a holiday here in America, Super Bowl Sunday, and people are definitely focused on the big game, Super Bowl, the probably most watched event, you know, of the year, definitely once Trump is out of politics. And it's, besides the event itself, people watching sports, there's a crazy amount of money which is bet on today's game. I tried doing a little research. I found from some outlets, they were saying they expect 23 million people to be betting on today's game. 23 million people. I saw another estimation, which is even higher than that. It assumed that half the people in America today will be betting on the Super Bowl. Now, it's interesting. It for sure used to be you couldn't really track how many people are betting, because betting was illegal. And you meet your nice mafiosa guy, you know, on the street corner. No one's keeping tabs and stats besides the mafia on what's being wagered on a game, what's going on in the betting. Nowadays, I would say the word unfortunately, betting has become something which is legalized in many states. And there's a tremendous proliferation of these online betting sites, which makes it so much easier for the average person to bet. You don't have to meet a bookie. You don't have to go to some certain spot. You just go online. And unfortunately, like many things, this is another machla that is easily accessible through the internet, and the numbers of people betting on sporting events in general and the Super Bowl in particular have skyrocketed. And thus, this Sunday morning, I think it's an important topic to talk about. Maybe I should have done it last Sunday morning to prevent the bets, but okay. We'll go through it in halacha. And we'll see, what do we think about, what does the halakha say about betting? But the second topic, which we hope to tie together, is, as we mentioned before, this whole phenomenon with GameStop. GameStop is one of the stocks which was traded that fall into this category, but there's really quite a few, half a dozen stocks, which literally the same phenomenon was going on. Just GameStop was the most outrageous, the most clear. I'm not a bookie in the stock market. I actually had to study some of it to understand what was going on for the share. But let me give, I'll call layman's terms, what went on with the stock market. So the basic way most of the time stocks work, is a person invests in a company, you buy your share in a company, and you hope, most investors are long-term investors, that they hope they'll buy the stock, and over time will go up and they'll make money on it. That's classic stocks, okay? You have day traders, people constantly flipping. But then there are also people, seems more likely with bigger hedge funds, bigger capital involved, but you have stock investors that actually bet the other way. They're not betting on the company to go up, they're betting on the company to go down. And what they would do is they would short the stock. Basically, what shorting the stock means is they would borrow their goal was, or is, that they wanted to make money based on the estimation that this stock is going to go down. So let's say the stock is trading right now trading at $20 a share. GameStop was even lower than that. But it's trading at $20 a share. And you bet that, you know, this stock is going to go way down. And you could probably get it for $5 a share come a month from now. So what they would do is they would borrow a share from a brokerage firm. And then once you borrow it, so you owe them back a stock. You'll sell that stock that you borrowed for the right now selling price of $20. But by the time you have to pay back, you expect the stock to go down to $5. You'll buy it at $5, and you'll make a profit of $15 a share. Very nice, handsome profit. All based on your estimation that a stock is going down, and therefore you're shorting the stock. So this was going on heavily in many areas. The GameStop stock was one of them that the big powers in Wall Street, the big hedge funds, were estimating this company is going to, it's going down and further going down. And many of them were shorting the stock. So people organized together using online, once again, online stock buying, that they organized groups that bought the stock. And the more people buying the stock, the more the stock started to shoot up. So all those people that were intending on shorting it and expecting the stock price to go down, pumperkert, just the opposite. It was, the stock price is going back up. And once the stock price is going up, it was harder for, they were all losing money on it, and it just was a vicious cycle. It kept going up and up, and they need to buy stocks to pay back what they already borrowed, and it made for some people losing a ton of money, and some people making a ton of money. But what that also did was tremendously inflated the price of the stock, where the stock was worth much, much more than it should have been. And it was a bubble that everyone knew was going to burst, but just when? Some people got out at the right time, some people didn't, and just a whole mess. Welcome to stocks. What I would like to talk about today is the halachic issues involved in both betting on sports and one might call betting gambling on stocks. Both of these are areas where a person could literally, you know, lose their shirt. They could invest so much money. I saw some stat that there's somebody that wagered a few million dollars on today's Super Bowl. One bad pass by Mr. Brady and this guy's out a few million dollars. Who knows? People invest crazy money. I'll invest in GameStop. Yeah, but it's falling down on this, and you could also lose more than your lunch money. So, you know, you can imagine a guy comes home, his wife asks him, you know, how's everything going? Looks like you're in a bad mood. Huh, we just lost $1 million. Halachically, the wife would be quite upset. you know, what does the halacha say about gambling? People could gamble with their money in flat-out gambling for sports, gambling in casinos, that stuff. At the same time, people seemingly also could gamble their money on the stock market. Now, one seems more acceptable than the other. They're first allowing gambling now in many states. Stock markets always been allowed. But the wife might feel that's also gambling. Halachically, is that gambling? Is that the same? So I would like to go into the sugya of gambling in depth. I actually checked. I couldn't find that Rabbi Sharfman gave a share on this. Sharfman has covered so many critical topics. And I looked. I didn't find this one. It is an important topic. I hope Rabbi Sharfman wasn't afraid of our audience that we have too many gamblers here. I hear people laughing already. But, yeah. So, look, we're going to touch on it. We're going to try to understand the concept of betting, of gambling, through the Torah's lens. So, the first major source is this Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's a Mishnah on Chavdalot and Mabez. The Mishnah says, Elohein HaPoslin. These are people that Apostle Rashi says to judge cases as well as to be Edim. Court system usually goes together. If you're Apostle Aid, you're Apostle Adayim. HaMishachik B'Kuvya literally means somebody who's playing dice. Casino boy is Apostle for Edus. Malva B'Ribis, someone who lends with Ribbis, with interest. Mafrika Yonim, someone who is involved in pigeon racing. So, obviously, you see in the Mishnah's time, they didn't have the Super Bowl. It's only Super Bowl, I don't know what number, LX, what. But, the Mishnah, they bet on pigeon racing. Okay, so for Shvius, again next year, people who do business during Shvius, during Shemitah, all these people are puzzled for Eidos. So this is an important thing to know. You know, people sometimes get called up to sign on the Tanayim, and more importantly, on Ksuba. We talked about that not too long ago. Eidos Kedushin, you have to know, this is one of the areas a person who bets could be puzzled for Eidos. Okay, you know, Ramoshi used to tell a person before he was used as an aid, be Mahara B'tshuva. If a person, regrets that, then, okay, you know, that's a means of tshuva. So the Gemara is going to go through what exactly is the reason behind that these gamblers are puzzled for Eidos. So the Gemara says, Meshacha B'Kuvya, Micah Ovid. Hey, a gambler, what did he do? I understand someone who worked Peres Shvius. Okay, he violated Torah commandment. You can't do Shvius. I understand somebody who lends with Ribbis. Torah has an Isser and Ribbis. But gamblers, I assume the Gemara is really asking the kasha on both. I'm a Shach B'Kuvya, Mafricha Yonim. Though we'll have to talk about that a little bit later. Yeah, the Gemara is asking the question. Micah Avi, what do you do wrong? Why are you possible Eidos? So answers the Gemara to Pshatim. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Ishum Da Havi Asmachta, Vasmachta Lakanya. The reason is, this is considered an Asmachta. It's considered, literally, Rashi says, Hainu Dover De'ena, something that's not. Nosin Lo Midaito, Dover De'ena Nosin Lo Midaito, something you're not giving with your das. El somech al davar she'eino. But you're relying on something which really isn't. Disavar shu yuchel lehinatzeach upamit shematzeach osa. Why do you wager a bet on a sporting event? Why do you wager a bet on your dice? Your game of poker. Because you think you're going to win. So I'm only putting my money down to win. No one, it's not a tzedakah fund. No one's giving over money in a poker game. I hope yeshiva's not having poker games for fundraisers, but who knows? Right. The Chinese auction, what's the difference with a poker game? Okay, different topic. But you're not giving the money in a poker game tzedakah to your friend to take. Your friend's doing quite fine. You're giving it, you're putting the money down because you're betting because you think you're going to win. That's why you bet. That's why you're involved in this. So Rami Baruch Hama understands that that doesn't work. That's an invalid kinyan, a smachta lo kanya. You don't really mean, every time there's a business transaction between two people, so you're going to sell me your house, you're going to sell me your car, I'm going to give you money. I fully am, you know, when we shake on it, when I pass over the money, whatever kinyan we do, that's a form of showing that I'm okay with the deal and 100% the items pass between me and you. But by betting, it's not that perfect process. I don't really want to give over the money. I begrudgingly, when I lose a bet, I slam the money on the table. There. You don't want to give it. So that creates a problem. Because if you win in betting, you're taking someone's money, which he doesn't really want to give to you. He wasn't really fully Gomer Das. He didn't really have the full halachic mindset to give it to you. And therefore, on Rashi in the Mishnah says, he calls it Vatorah Amar Atashas Rasha Aid. Torah says Rasha shouldn't be an aid. And this is Me'ein Gazlanim. You're like, it's like you're stealing. Since it's like you're stealing, the Pasul Eidos.
Can an actual Ganav be an aid?
An actual Ganav cannot be an aid until he does Tshuva. He can't. So this is one layer Rashi in the Mishnah at least learns. It's Gezel Durabanan. Maybe on some of the Raisa level this is good enough, but on a Durabanan level, it's not enough. You, a Smachta Lokanya, you didn't have the Das to Bikona, and therefore this doesn't work. Now, that's Rami Baruch Hama's idea. A Smachta Lokanya. Really, the concept of Smachta Lokanya comes out up throughout Shas. There are multiple cases where a person makes like a halachic clarification on, you know, where he's involved in some type of kinyan, but we're afraid you made this condition, but you don't really mean for that condition to be binding. And therefore, Rami Baruch Hama says, it doesn't work. A smachta lokanya. In researching the share, going through lots of things, I came across a very strange maramakam. There's a Yid, Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin, wrote the Sefer that I knew in English is called Festivals and Halacha. Art Scroll has a translation, Mo'adim Halacha. Famous Rav in Eretz Yisrael from decades ago. So he wrote another Sefer, not as popular, maybe it could be in his time was controversial, but a Sefer called L'Or Halacha, In the Light of Halacha. In this particular Sefer, at least in a footnote, I did not see the actual quote, but I saw it being quoted and see the actual page. It seems in the footnote, this Rav was knowledgeable of Shakespeare's work, The Merchant of Venice, which is infamously attributed to Shakespeare as something which flashes of anti-Semitism, because the character Shylock, the Jew, is a moneylender, and he lent money to this fella, Antonio. And it seems, if he didn't pay back, Shylock was threatening him, making a condition, I'm also going to take a pound of flesh. That's the Shakespearean expression. And Rav Zevin, in his piece, fascinating, tries to understand, is that what halachically, is that a binding condition? Or do you say on that, a smachta lokanya? He never thought he's not going to be back, never thought he would have to pay a pound of flesh, whatever that means, and therefore it's not halachically binding condition. But That's just another example of how far this concept of smachta lakanya is. If there, every transaction between two people, each side has to read the fine print and be fully acquiesced to go through with it. If they're not, you potentially have these problems of a smachta lakanya, and one side could be accused of being a ganav on that situation. Now, let me just point out one more step about a smachta lakanya. I was learning this the other day with some of my Talmidim and the concept of smachta lakanya, and one of the Talmidim asked a question. We have a halacha in the Gemara, Dvarim Shebalev Einan Dvarim. Is normally when there's a transaction between two parties, so the deal of the transaction is based on what's spelled out, whether verbally or written on a contract. But something which is not written and not verbally spelled out, the Gemara has a concept, Dvarim Shebalev Einan Dvarim. If you were thinking, well, I'm only selling this on this condition, you never said that. So the other party is not bound to a condition in your mind. Very, very logical, smart way of how to set up business is that the Gemara understands Dvarim Shebalev Einan Dvarim. If you didn't stipulate something verbally, at least verbally, then you can't hold a person responsible for that. So here, where the person never spelled out, you know, they had a deal, we're coming to argue and say, well, the guy didn't really mean, never spelled out on the tzad that he loses, that he's not paying. We had a deal. You bet if my team wins, the Bucks win, I make $500. They lose, so everything was spelled out. Where's there room for this concept of a smachta lakanya? I didn't mean that. We never said it. The fact that you didn't intend to lose should not be a viable clause to affect this transaction.
Hope when is it said from the beginning, no?
Right, normally we say from the beginning, look, my team but wins, we'll do this.
But this is implied. Isn't that the whole point of this halacha?
Oh. So one of the answers Rav Shimon Shkop gives is along the lines of what you just said, is within the concept of Dvarim Shebalev Einan Dvarim, there's a very important clause. If something is obvious, if it's super obvious, then it doesn't need to be spelled out. So Rav Shimon Shkop, at least in one of his answers in discussing this issue, says the concept of a smachta lakanya is so obvious and so well known, then even without the person stipulating it, that's a valid aspect of the agreement, and therefore, I just thought of the pun, all bets are off. If you know that, we know that people, I don't want to give the money, so then that's then the whole transaction to begin with was a bad transaction. And the person taking the money on at least a rabbinic level is considered stealing, possible eidos, and therefore, first and foremost, gambling will be something that we want to avoid. That's what you definitely see from this first shot in the Gemara of Rami Bar Chama. I would like to now transition to the second shot. Rav Sheshes Amar, again, this is Gemara Sanhedrin, anything like this is not a smachta. We'll see a little bit later why not. Ella, the reason why, if you gamble, your pasul eidos, go fishing, always can be yeshiva shalom. The reason is because you're not involved. Yeshiva Sha'olam, you're not helping the world grow, you're not doing something productive for society. And that's why a gambler is Pasul Eidos. Very interesting thing. Every person has a role in society and they have to contribute to society. Gambling is viewed, according to Rav Sheshes, as a low thing, perhaps an immoral thing, something which we view. You're not helping society, if anything, but for carrot. You're hurting society. You're setting up a situation. People are pressed for money. Unfortunately, what's the next step? People that have big gambling debts, hey, it usually leads to Savera Guerrero Savera. It's one bad thing leads to the next. They'll steal money to pay up their gambling debts. They'll take away from money that should be in other spots. It Chas Hashem destroying marriages, families. We'll talk about this all. But Rav Sheshes gives a totally different reason. A gambler is possible Eidos because Eino owes it to Yeshiva Sha'olam. He's not involved in the proper, he's not a positive addition to society. Pretty strong accusation by Rav Sheshes.
Can that be compared to the rest of the things that get you puzzled? I feel like it's not nearly as
interesting. Possible. Right. The other aspects, you know, this list of people that puzzle Eidos, it's really part of the Gemara's question. The other cases where you're clearly violating an Isser Nedara, you're working during Shemitah, you're lending money with Ribbis. This where we're not saying you translate, according to the second shot, it's very good to be pointed out, Akiva, not only are you not, sounds like you're not violating any, even Durabbanan Isser of Zela, you're not a Ganav. So why are you Pasul Eidos? This concept, Eina Ozek B'Yeshiva Sha'olam, you're not a productive member of society, that alone, very chiddushic idea, is a reason why such a person is a valid festival. You know, it could be, you know, you could start darshaning that to be part of, to say testimony. Testimony, by definition, the whole court system, trial by peers, okay, it's not a jury trial, but it's a process of having everyone involved. If you're an outcast, you're not part of society, then you can't join in. But the Gemara interestingly says, my binayu, what's the halachic difference between these two reasons? If the reason why Apostle Eidos is because on some level it's considered like stealing, because asmachta lo kanya, your mindset, you never fully meant to do that, the first shot, or the second shot of Eino Osip Yeshiva Sha'olam, not a productive member of society, what's nafkamina? So the Gemara says, it's not your day job. Quote unquote, you're not a day trader. Right? You have another job. This is your side kicks. You gamble on the side. Then, look, you're a doctor. You're a lawyer. I assume that's called a productive member of society. Right? All these things, if it's just a side point, then yeah, then one would be able to still testify and would not be possible. Those are the two shatim in this Gemara.
Is there a way to say it the other way around?
Now, hold on. What the halacha goes through is very, very interesting. Halacha l'maisa, this is the Gemara. But how is the Shulchan Aruch? We have a machlokas here. Chirayim Bar Chama and Rav Sheshes. How is it codified in halacha? So let's see. So, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, this is Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shinayim, it's on the bottom of one sheet. There's two Sefim that we should go through. Hamashach and Mekuv Ketzah. What's considered someone who's betting? Shemachachim Be'etzim, or Betzroros, or Batzamos, all types of games. They didn't have good dice. They had wood chips, little Tzroros, Lachal Moshe. But it's rocks, atzamos, yikes, they'll play with bones. Vosim t'nai b'neim, they play games. It reminds me, you know, when I was a kid, he used to play these games, these five hard metal pieces called kugelach. It's a flip them up in the air, this Israeli game. I remember A.B. Horowitz, Elgazunzain, member of my shul. He grew up in Yerushalayim, mamish of old. He told me, ha! You play with these kugelach. He says, in my days we played chamesh avonim, five rocks. Poor Israeli society back in the day, you know, they didn't get these little metal pieces. They got rocks. That's what they played with. So it's straight out of the Shulchan Aruch. And people bet on them. They make a t'nai b'neim. Shekol netzeach es chavero ba'os l'schok. Whoever is better than his friend with this game, yigach kach v'kach. Hamashachkim, the Behemo, Bechaya, Beofos. Gosh, they could get. Or they bet on horse racing, bird racing. Behemto, if your animal wins. Or if you run quicker, you'll get this and this money. So Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Kiyotz B'Dvar Me'ila, any similar things. Hakol Aser, it's Aser for one to be involved in these things. The Gezel M'Dvrei Amru. And it's considered Midrabanan Gezel.
So we don't pass on like Kripshashis?
So, sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch so far, we'll see even further, is we're passing like Rami Bar Chama, that this is considered Gezel, and it's also to do. Very important. So, you know, I hope I don't, I'm saying this beforehand, so if someone wins good money in the Super Bowl, you know, not sure it's your last hurrah when I'm trading your bet last minute. But, Lamaisa, you do see from the Shulchan Aruch, but don't end the share right here. You can listen a little bit further. Maybe not so bad. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rami Bar Chama, that there's an Iser, the Rabbanon, Gezel, the Rabbanon, the Apostle Eidos, if one gambles, one bets on sporting events. Yesh Bishomer, Shulchan Aruch continues, Shemashach B'Kuvar Ma'akom, if you're betting against a Gentile, Ein Bo Mishum Gezel. Oh, the first heter. Way to go, Rabbi Kier. Right? This whole Iser of Gezel is your betting in the yeshiva pot, in a shul brackets. But if you're betting against Gentiles, anyway, it's only Gezel on a rabbinic level. The rabbis never put that Iser if you're betting against Gentiles.
Stealing from a guy.
As long as New York State, California, whatever, allow for the betting, Dina Malchus Adina stands. That's the Shulchan Aruch clarifies. But he does write, Aval Yishbo Issa Osa Gedvar B'Talib, Shein Royal Adam La'asaf Behem Kol Yamav. You shouldn't be involved in such narrow shtick, silly things. Abul Divrei Chachma V'Yeshiva Sha'olam. Sounds like even the Shulchan Aruch, we pass in like Rav Sheish, right? Like Rami Bar Chama, but Rav Sheish's point is a valid point. We want people to be involved in good pursuits, not trivial pursuits.
They're not possible for Eidos.
Right? You're not possible for Eidos on this, but at the same time, the Havana of Rav Sheish's is a valid Havana. People shouldn't do such things. You don't recommend it. Okay? The Chokol of Lomar, and they differentiate and say, she an apostle in king Elohim Zacharis. The only apostle you wouldn't be apostle unless this was the only thing you did. So it does sound like Shulchan Aruch is trying to be machmer for the Shita of Rav Sheshes, providing you have another job. Then, at least within that aspect of it, it would be okay. So, according to the Mechaber seems to say that betting is a big bad thing. People should stay far, far away from it. And it's Aser and Pasul Eidos. Now, look at this Ramah. Avon Yishlom Nosacheres. If a person has another job, betting is just a side thing. I feel misachik in Yisrael, even if he's betting against another Jews, ain't no possible. He's not possible. Kfar pashad aminuk esvara achrona misachik bekuvia ve'ain psul el mi she'ain lo onnes elohu. The mechaber seemed to pass him like Rami Bar Chama, the first opinion in the Gemara. That gambling is aser because it's some form of gezel. The Ramah says not like that. The Ramah paskins like Rav Sheshes. The only problem with betting is it's not a productive member of society. As long as you have another job, one could bet. So we're coming close to Pesach. You know, people think the difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim is, you know, whether you eat rice on Pesach or not. Sephardim eat their rice, Ashkenazim don't. The difference Ashkenazim and Sephardim is also on Super Bowl Sunday. According to the Mechaber, and this I saw Bavadja Paskin's like, the Mechaber says, you have to be choshes, iser, gezel, 100% aser tibet. The Ramah. We Paskin like Rav Sheshes. As long as you have a different job, it's not the only thing you do. Rav Sheshes' opinion, you have to be a productive member of society. But he doesn't hold there's a problem with betting. So halacha l'maisa, in the Sephardic world, Sephardi, stay far away from betting. Ashkenazim, could a Sephardi ask an Ashkenazi to wage a bet for him? It's a business deal. Okay, that's for our Ashkenaz share. But, Josh is laughing. But l'maisa, in the Ashkenazic world, just based on this Ramah, there is more wiggle room, more flexibility for potentially to say that gambling isn't so bad, isn't so awesome. Now, I would like to add a very important clarification. We saw in the Gemara that Rav Sheshes, the second opinion, says, in this situation, it's not considered an asmachta. It's not considered an invalid transaction when you wager money on something. It's not considered the problem of a smachta lokani. Why not? So Rashi, on the bottom of your page, important Rashi, Rashi gives a very, very interesting clarification. The only time you say there's a problem with asmachta lokani, with stealing when it comes to betting, is somebody who has his calculations of why he's betting, why he's putting his money this way. You know, he studied the game, he knows all the stats, and based on all his knowledge of the stats, that's why he's wagering, you know, Chiefs by 3.5. However, if someone is like the Gemara's case, you're playing dice. Now, I don't know the complicated math that could ever be involved in it. But for the most part, dice, there's a reason why the expression is we roll the dice. We roll the dice because that's something which is a very random idea. You're just, it's pure luck. So Rashi says, according to Rav Sheshes, in such a case, there's no problem with asmachta lokani. Because when I'm rolling the dice, when I'm just randomly, I feel lucky. I woke up this morning, I feel lucky. So such a thing, such a bet, there you are gomer das. You know there's a very strong chance you're going to lose. So in that case, that's considered a valid transaction, and that you pay out, and there's no problem over there of gezel. But where something is more calculated, that is potentially a problem of gezel, and even Rav Sheshes would be masking such a thing. So it's interesting. I didn't get a chance. I didn't see anyone make this distinction. Masaka b'kavir, you're wrong, dice. I wonder about Mafrika Yonam. Gemara asked the question by Misacha Makovia. Mafrika Yonam, pigeon racing. So maybe you'll say, I know this pigeon. I trained the pigeon. I've watched all of his races. I think he could beat the competition. I analyze everything. So in that case, it could be Rav Sheshes would say there would be a problem with Asmachta Lokani. But this is a very important halachic clarification. What type of bet are you putting in sports? Are you just picking teams for March Madness based on, you know, what college they are? You like this college over that college without knowing anything really about the sport? even if you pick the higher seed, that itself might be knowing something about the sport. But what you see here is that there's two levels of a bet. There's two levels of gambling. Card games, again, we could also debate. Professional poker player. Perhaps you consider that a smachtalokanya, because it's not just pure luck of the hand what he gets. It's also a certain amount of expertise and knowledge. At the same time, there's always luck. So how do you weigh these things? If something is pure luck, then we say there's no problem with smachta lokanya, at least according to Rav Sheshes, right? According to the Svardim, if you possibly remember Rachama, he's still going to say the smachta lokanya is a problem. But at least within Rav Sheshes, the Paskin, like according to Ashkenazim, according to the Ramah, he says there's two levels. There's a level of pure random bets, and there's a level of the calculations. This has a big nafkamina actually in the Super Bowl today. If a person is betting the line, betting the score of the game based on knowledge of football and that, so that's a dangerous bet, in at least halachic terms, because that's not halakanya, and according to Rav Sheshes would agree, right, that might be a problem. So don't jump for joy just because you're Ashkenazi. If it's a calculated bet, that might be a problem. Masha Aiken, if it's a pure random bet, you took a bet, what's the first points going to be scored in the game? That's random luck. You're never going to know. It's a touchdown, a safety, a field goal. That's pure luck. You bet numbers on what the score is going to be. Like, whatever. These, if it's a random bet, then that's more likely, at least according to Ashkenazim, or possibly like Dharma, that that would not be a problem of betting. So that is part one of share. Part two of share, stocks. Now once we set up that look, there's these two problems. Problem of potentially some gezel issue, problem of not a productive member of society. How's that play out in terms of stocks? To begin with, there is seemingly a machlokas between modern, later poskim on how to view the concept of stocks. Now, I'm not sure, I did my research when the stock market began, but the concept of stocks, not so addressed in the earlier poskim, but Dayan Weiss, Menachas Yitzchak, I believe, has a piece where he seems to understand that a stock is a partial ownership of a company. Now, if you're buying ownership in something, that's business. That would not be considered gambling. If you own something, right? I'm allowed to go buy baseball cards because I think they're going to go up in value. That's buying a commodity. You're buying something, and that's all business. I'm buying something. I hope I'll make money off it. That's not a problem with betting. So to begin with, it could be stocks. There's no shaykhs because I'm buying something. However, Ramosha Feinstein did not view stocks that way. It's very interesting. There's a tshuva from Ramosha. This, you would think stocks would appear in Chelek Chosha Mishpat. But the way the Sefer, for sure, in the earlier volumes of Igros Moshe, people sent him questions, and people sent him multiple questions in different areas, and they organized the questions. If the first part was Evana Alza, it was a marriage, let's say, related issue, the questioner threw in a question, Bachosh Mishpat, and then they still made it into Chelek Evan Ezer. So this is Chelek Evan Ezer of Ramosha Simin Zion. The end of the piece there, he talks about Uvadavar Lokeach shares may companies. Moshe was the king of writing English words in Hebrew. He was my inspiration for spelling stock on top of the sheets. Yisach Bekovia Vekniyas Chelek Be Stock. Right? You can argue with me on the spelling. But so Ramosha says, hey, If you own stock in a company, it's pashut gabi hilchos Shabbos that you have no problem. No problem of your stock, your company doing business on Shabbos. But tam pashut, she in the chashuv is kinyan shares shu rak mashu miskar. She in the mishum dea ba miskar. Moshe says, just because you own a few shares, your das means nothing. You're not really a voting voice in a company. And you also don't want to be in a company. I want to go to their meetings. Ramosha says, Al Kurak Kikona Ravach Behafsid Shiyeb Mikhsar. You know what you're doing when you're buying a stock? You're buying the right to make profit, or sometimes, or take a loss when the company goes up and down. And he says, really, halachically, you're not even buying anything. It wouldn't even be considered a kinyan. What are you doing? And he said, it's a davar shelo ba'olam. There's nothing here yet. He says, look, there's a din of dinim achus adina. You could buy a stock, right? That is a commodity that government say that you could do. So memela, that works. But really, the ikar adin, the Moshe says stocks, yeah, there's nothing there. So according to Moshe, this issue with stocks are more of a gamble. You're not tangibly buying anything. It's not a commodity. And therefore, so you're really just wagering money in the stock market. It really itself, it's a right, it's a gamble to go up in price and down in price.
What if you hire someone to do the stocks for you, but you know nothing about stocks?
Interesting, right? Good question. Somebody asked, right? All these issues that we're talking about, you're putting puzzle to aid us potentially. I don't even want to talk about just the issue of being us or mutter. So somebody asked, oh, I'll do my stocks myself. I hire a stockbroker. So that itself should get around all these issues. Potentially. Yeah. And maybe it's only the person himself. You know, it doesn't matter if it's your name on it. It's the person who actually does the trade. Right? Or what about the other way? You're a Jewish stockbroker. It's not your money. It's other people's money. So is that a problem? Yeah. Is that like being a bookie? Right? It sounds like from the Gemara, the real problem with gambling, say the first side of Gezel, is not on the bookie. It's really on the person winning, unless you say, because the bookie is making a profit off it, it's making a percentage.
Right.
And if that is considered Gezel, so then the bookie would be considered getting Gezel, and maybe the stock market, stockbroker also would be considered getting Gezel. But everyone knows it's a nice Jewish profession to be a stockbroker. And there are many Jews over the ages, chashuv of Jews that have been involved in buying and selling stocks. So Rabbi, how can you ever say it's us? So you're right, I don't think it's us. But let me explain why. So let's go through. Firstly, in terms of Shein Osek, the Yeshiva Shel Olam, again, like a stock, even if you're not buying a share in the company, but what are you doing? You're giving the company capital by them sharing their profits with you. You're giving them capital, you're giving them money, which they could use to benefit their company. That's not in an OSB Yeshiva Shalom. That's a productive member of society. I'm adding to society by contributing to business, part of business world. So that the whole idea of Rav Sheshes would not apply. And even Rami Bar Chama's idea of a smachta lo kanya, it's not so clear. You know, buy a bet, so that's me versus you. So I'm putting the money down, you're putting the money down. And if my team wins, I make the money. If your team wins, you make the money. Buy a stock, so you say the same thing. I'm betting what? I'm betting for the stock to go up and you're betting for the stock to go down. And that's what we just had by GameStop. But there, they'll say what? And people have very much calculations. You know, it's worse. It's not just random. People don't play the stock market at random. Just pick the company's logo that looks good. People research it. People invest in things. So is that element of a smachta? So to be honest, I never heard anyone say stock is usher. I haven't found anyone who says such a thing. So I don't think it's a smachta lokani. It's not really that agreement between me versus you. Right? There's no two people on the sides. I'm hoping the stock's going to go up. You're hoping the stock's going to go down. But since we didn't make direct bet against each other, that's not the problem of a smart little account. It's not Gezer or Rabban. So really, Me'ikar Adin, there is nothing wrong with stock buying stocks, even like these challenging stocks, these situations where, you know, to make money on GameStop, you have to get in at the right time and get out at the right time, which is very dangerous. Your wife might be upset at you for investing that. But halakhically, that's not the same thing as gambling. People might say stocks are a gamble, but halakhically, once you understand the sugya of gambling, there's no shaykhus, there's no connection between them, and 100% the ikar adin, one would be able to invest money in stocks, even dangerous stocks. At the same time, just to point out two hashkafas, once I remember a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Neumann Zatzal, once gave a share, a very interesting share on investing al pi haTorah. He quoted the Gemara, I believe, in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Beis, where the Gemara says, La'om Adam Yashlish Ma'osef, person should divide his money into three parts. One part should be under his hand. One part, he could invest in business. No. And the third one, he should invest in karka, invest in real estate. And Rabbi Neumann said, I forgot if he was quoting Rav Moshe. Rabbi Neumann was somebody that constantly, with all these yanim, discussed with Rav Moshe. So I loved checking my notes if I could find where it is and tape if he was quoting Rav Moshe on this. But he's very much pushing people not to be invested in stocks, but people should invest. Something want to invest in real estate. That the Gemara says, man yam yam rabim, real estate is something, it's a long-term investment. Many times, most of the time, it usually goes up. So yeah, that's something to invest in. But stocks are so volatile, it just goes up and down, it's dangerous. People lose money, he was against that. When the Gemara says you should invest in pramaka, in business, some of that means a normal business. It doesn't necessarily, Gemara doesn't mean you should invest in stock. Stock is something which it could be dangerous, and people don't want to lose money. I saw from, I heard it from the Rosh Yeshiva, where Hanach held, if someone donates money to the yeshiva has no right to take that money and invest in stocks. Because the yeshiva felt stocks are by definition something which could go up and down. You have no right to play with one moment hektish, potentially lose that money. And not every yeshiva held like that, but I know the other yeshivas that would take money that was raised for the yeshiva and invest in stocks. But it's right now pashut, right? The whole Madoff situation, there were not just Jewish people that lost a lot of money, but there were Jewish institutions that invested with Madoff, and the institution lost a big money. From Hanach Hel, you're not allowed to do that. If someone gives money, you have to keep the money as is, and definitely not in the stock market, especially, you know, people promising crazy returns. So you have to be careful. I would just like to end, you know, one of the last things I looked into is just the whole idea of gambling. How prevalent is it from society? You definitely don't see advertised in the pages of Mishpacha magazine, the Yated, you know, Gamblers Anonymous programs. Fortunately, with other vices, you know, other addictions, you see more and more of it coming to the fore that people, are dealing with it. Gambling, you don't see much talk about it. So I checked up. There are a few Jewish gambling addiction resources. And it is a problem. There was a study, an article I saw in England, where they were saying amongst teenagers, gambling today is a bigger problem than alcohol and drugs, which is mind-boggling. And they attributed to the fact that it's very easy to gamble because of online sites. I know of communities which are very steeped in gambling, and it's horrible for Shalom Bayis. Your wife doesn't want you to lose that money, and it just makes for real, real problems. So, in general, whatever we came out halachically, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, of gambling, but it's really a very slippery slope, and people should do everything in their power to stay away from it, both themselves and their children. And just like, you know, you never know, one little bet, what that can lead to. And it's something that's smart to stay away from. I'd just like to end, just this past Sunday evening, Klai Yisrael lost a treasure. Besides two Anashim Gedolim, two Rosh Yeshivas of Soloveitchik and of Shiner, that were Nifter, there's also a famous Yid, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, who was well known as a tremendous psychologist, psychiatrist, somebody who authored over 60 books of self-help, tremendous resource in the firm community in the area of addiction. And something happened at his Levaya, which is so mind-boggling. He wrote in his Savon, his will, that he didn't want any Hespedim at his Levaya. Rather, he wanted one thing. They should play a song. The song that he wanted to play was a song that he composed 50, 60 years ago, which has become a classic throughout the Jewish world, whether by weddings and Simchas Torah. But the message of the song is so, I think, relevant to his life of lifting people up from the throes of addiction. And we give a share today about gambling. It's something which is so important. The song that he composed was Mashiach Samecha, Mevarech Asnacha Rasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save your people. The people involved in these addictions have to know that they could beat it, they could get over it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in the process to help them. And he was the ultimate advocate, Rabbi Twersky, for Hashiach Samecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save your people from, sometimes from foes from outside, but gambling is the perfect example of a foe from within. Ezra Hashem, we should all live a happy and healthy life.
Amen.
Have a wonderful, wonderful week.